We have only 5 minutes until the live free webcast, so stick with us. Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Allergy-Free Backroads webcast. This episode, we will be dealing with traveling gluten-free and the challenges of doing so, What's so great about kefir water and why all the buzz? Grain-free living and functional nutrition. So it's an action-packed webcast for tonight. My name is Nikki Everett, and I have been following my journey to health and wellness for my family, which started on November 10th, 2008, when my daughter was diagnosed with celiac disease at age 7. Because of the struggles we faced and continue to face, I decided to take positive actions to help not only her, but the allergen-free community at large. And since that time, we've been planning and helping communities plan events from North Carolina to Nebraska, down to Texas, up to Hartford, and all the way down to Florida. If you haven't joined us before at a gluten and allergen-free wellness event, we differ from others in that we focus on each region and cater that event to the community it's held in with a belief that local food has as big of a place at the table of food allergies as national companies do. And a little tidbit you might not know is that about 95% or more of the companies at our events are organic and non-GMO. We think this is an important tidbit of information, and we have a lot of people ask us about that. GFAF wellness events are sponsored by Udi's Gluten-Free Foods, Glutino, Enjoy Life Foods, Simply Gluten-Free Magazine, and Delight Gluten-Free Magazine. Tonight we have assembled some of the amazing speakers who will be presenting at the Jacksonville, Florida Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event, which is coming up on November 15th at the Hyatt Regency at Riverside. The event is open from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m., with the last ticket being sold at 2:15 p.m. We really hope that you will come out and join us. It's going to be full of great food, incredible speakers with a lot of information that can help you if you're dealing with allergies. We are about to start our interviews and are going to take you with us on a journey to health with some great tips that begin with, as I said before, kefir water. We're going to talk about that in some depth, and also functional nutrition and traveling gluten-free. And then we will end up with like a round topic, round table discussion that we always do, which we call hot topics. Those that can stick around will, and those that can't, they'll bow out this time, but hopefully you'll stick around because it should be an hour full of information for you. And hopefully these discussions we have tonight will help you make easier transitions in the long run to help you understand some of the challenges you are facing in your day-to-day life. Each speaker tonight will have around 10 minutes to chat with us, and at the end of the sessions, we have a final Q&A question time, which I call Hot Topics, as I said before. If you can stick around that long, great. If not, you can access this webcast and all of the webcasts that are on the website for free at any time. They are archived. And that's great for you because if you can't join us live or if you can only join us for a portion of the time, you can always check back in to Allergy Free Backroads and listen to these webcasts. So our first speaker tonight is Jen Eccleston. Did I say that right, Jen?
You sure did.
Excellent. Jen is a recovering gluten addict. And she is the author of the blog, My Big Fat Grain-Free Life, which I love that name, and the owner of Gentilly Tea. She uses humor and, quite frankly, crybaby moments. She seeks to deal with food allergies, bowel health, and autoimmune disease while retaining her belief that allergen-free food really can taste delicious. Thanks for coming, Jen.
Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. I'm excited. And you mentioned something about Squishy. What is Squishy?
Squishy is the name of my water kefir grains because I originally got them from a company called Yimu's, and they send you this little, really cute little adoption certificate, and they encourage you to name them. And so to tease my kids, I said, I'm naming them, and I'm leaving everything in the will to Squishy because Squishy can never grow up and disappoint me and Squishy is probably going to take better care of me than you will. So.
Oh, that's hilarious. I love that. So we hear so much about water kefir, and we hear so much about probiotics. So I want to talk to you about that, because that's what you're going to present about in Jacksonville, which I think is so great, and I think it's really important. So for people that aren't really clued in, what is water kefir?
Now we pronounce it in the South, water kefir,
okay.
But I have been trying to retrain my family and say the proper pronunciation is actually kefir. My little toddler corrected her daddy this week and said, "Daddy, it's not water kefir, it's kefir." So anyway, it's a probiotic beverage that's dairy-free and caffeine-free. So unlike kombucha that does have the caffeine, for those of us that can't handle that in our systems, it's caffeine-free. And when it's fermented the second time, which is a super easy thing to do, it actually tastes like soda because the carbonation from the healthy yeast that's in it builds up. And so I tell people it's one of those healthy beverages that you don't have to make yourself drink. I usually tell people, like, don't overdose on this stuff. Just drink a little. You don't need a ton, because people love the taste of it. So it's a low glycemic load also. So even though it tastes like I would compare it to an Izzy, a fruit juice sweetened soda, it's not super sweet, but it does have a low glycemic load. So
well, that's good to know for those that are diabetic for sure.
Yeah, it is. And it's full of beneficial probiotics, just full.
Excellent. So tell us, what is the advantage of drinking water kefir as opposed to taking a probiotic in supplement form?
That's a great question. There's several benefits. One would be it's got a higher probiotic content, and there's more of a variance of strains. So I have spent some buku money on good quality probiotics that are in pill form. And there's, you know, sometimes there's a need for that. But a good probiotic in pill form is going to have maybe 3 to 5 strains. Some of them I've seen on the market have 7 to 9. And that's like you're paying high dollar for the ones with 7 to 9 strains in them.
Yeah.
Water kefir, for those that do pronounce it correctly and don't live in the South, it has really about 44 different strains of symbiotic. It's basically a matrix of symbiotic bacteria and yeast that's all working together in a relationship for your gut and for your health. So it has such a larger dose and a larger variance, which if you've read any of the books on gut health, the GAPS, you know, SCD, there's a lot out there. It's so important to get a wide range of different strains of bacteria because it helps keep everything in check and not have any of those bacteria raise up and kind of take control. So,
absolutely. And I'm really stunned. 44 is a large number.
Yeah, it is. And it's also really cost effective to make at home, and it's super easy. I tell people even their kids can make it. You know,
yeah, so is that the benefit of making it at home, that it's cost effective?
It's cost effective, and it's just anything you buy in the store, to me, I'm a little leery of, because probiotic wise as far as a drink, because I want to know, did they have to pasteurize it, or did they have to do anything to it that's going to reduce the probiotic content, you know? And maybe there's brands out there, I haven't looked into it close enough, but it's kind of like when you pasteurize milk or you know, and things like that, and then you destroy the beneficial bacteria that's in it. So anything that's going to be processed in that way is going to decrease the whole reason you want to drink it in the first place. So, and it is extremely cost effective to make at home. So
how much does it cost someone to make at home, just on average?
Oh, man, I've never done those numbers, because I usually have, most people will have 1 or 2 jars going. I have like anywhere, a low number for me is 6 or 7 jars, up to, you know, 15, because I do classes and sell kits for them. So it's basically you just need to feed them with spring water or some kind of a mineralized water and sugar. And, of course, I use an organic you know, nothing that's chemically processed or bleached. So basically the sugar that you use is what you're paying for, and the sugar, again, is to feed them, not you. And then I do a second ferment and add some organic juices in there. So only 3/4 cup to a 32-ounce jar. So, you know, it's really not very expensive to make.
It's like growing your own pet, isn't it?
Yeah, really.
So yeah. What are some comments that you get from class attendees? Because you said that you do classes and you're going to do one at the show, which I'm really excited about. Who've started drinking kefir regularly? Like, what is their comments to you, that they feel better, or?
Oh, my goodness. I've had so many people tell me, they email me or call me, or people that I know who, now one of my requirements for my class is that you can't blush to talk about bowel health or bathroom habits, because my tagline on my business card of Blue Bottle Bootlegger is changing the world one bowel at a time, because gut health is so important and bowel health is so important, and we just have to, sometimes you just got to talk about it. So a lot of times I have people that come to the classes because they specifically have gut problems or problems with constipation or even diarrhea. I've had several people come because they have Crohn's or some other inflammatory bowel disease, and they're sent there either by their nutritionist, or I've had one woman come because her conventional GI doctor said, you need to get on water kefir. So I've had people tell me that they've had constipation problems their whole lives, and this has just totally regulated them. People with stomach aches, stomach upset, or even digestive problems after they eat have said that that's gone away. I had a Crohn patient say that when they're regularly drinking the kefir, that they do not have flares. I do tell people, though, you know, you can't eat the standard American diet and drink water kefir and think it's going to be a magic bullet. You know, it just doesn't work that way. But, and then I have a little guy who is such a cutie, and he's got Crohn's. And his mom told me that even with diet and working with a nutritionist, and they did a huge diet change, he really turned around, got off meds, is doing incredibly well, but still was sensitive, couldn't eat berries. It just would get him into a little problem with his Crohn's. And she said ever since adding in the water kefir, he can pop a whole handful of blueberries and doesn't have one problem at all. So
awesome
she said,
that? Because I mean,
yeah.
I love blueberries, and they're healthy in themselves, you know,
yeah.
if they aren't causing an issue.
Right.
So, I mean, that's huge in itself.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been great. I'm very passionate about it.
Excellent. So are you going to have your kits for sale?
Yeah, I will bring them with me, and we're going to have water kefir tastings. So I'm going to bring some different flavors and let people taste them and see what it's like.
Nice.
And I'll have my kits. I sell the kits for $35, and I do have to charge tax on that. And the kit includes a jar of grains that are ready to go. There's no having to wake them up or anything like you do when you buy them through the mail.
Nice.
I've got two of the second ferment bottles in there. You have to use a very specific bottle, because when you're dealing with a fermented beverage, you know, you've got to have glass that's thick enough to stand up to that ferment. So there's two of the second ferment bottles in there. I've got sugar blend that I use and that I make up, I have enough for two ferments in there. And then you have to use a special strainer, because the grains don't respond well to metal. So I have a nylon strainer and a beer bottle cleaning brush in there, and, you know, some little incidentals
awesome.
In addition to that. So, yeah.
Excellent. So you guys need to pick up your water kefir kit from Jen and listen in to her when she's at the show. And we have the presentation schedule posted on the blog. If you'll look at presentation schedule on gfafwellnessevent.com, you can get kind of an idea of when Jen will be speaking and the rest of them. Thanks so much for coming, Jen. And if you want to stick around, you can. We have like a little Q&A afterwards. If you can't, then I'll talk to you at the show.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks. All righty then. So we are going to move right along because we have kind of a packed schedule tonight. And this next speaker I am super excited about bringing to you as well. Her name is Julia McCray. And Julia has been in private practice for over 20 years as a certified nutritionist. She herself suffered with ulcerative colitis, which is devastating when you're dealing with it. So I'm really excited about her talking about that and how she got through that. But her passion to see others recover bowel health is one of her primary focuses of the practice, and customized nutrient-dense protocols are designed to bring lasting digestive health. She is a frequent guest speaker at wellness events and for private businesses. And she also does some nutritional consulting for some of the local businesses. Am I correct?
You are correct, yes.
Excellent. And so tonight she's going to talk to us about functional nutrition. And I think that functional medicine is that's where medicine is going. Am I correct, Julia?
You are absolutely right. Yes, it is. Definitely.
Yeah, and I've spoken with a couple of people in functional medicine, and I love that that is where we're going, because I think it's like where we should have been a long time ago, but, you know, I'm glad we're getting there now. But what is functional nutrition?
Yes, it is much like functional medicine, but first I want to thank you for giving me the lesson on how to say water kefir. Now I will have that straight. And for breaking into that
whole... I know, we're sitting here, we keep saying it wrong. I'm sure people are going, God, they're butchering that.
You know, language barriers can be a problem in any business, so thank you for fixing that. Much like functional medicine, functional nutrition doesn't take a symptom and treat just a symptom. What we do is we look at a symptom and we ask the question, why? Where is it coming from? Mm. The symptom is usually a fallout or a presenting problem of a much deeper issue. And if you've been in any kind of functional medicine or nutrition for any period of time, you know that the core of our immune system, the core of regulating any immune responses or inflammatory issues in your body start in the gut. So this is definitely a topic that's very personal to me, because I have been completely ulcerative colitis free for over 20 years now, and just am so excited and passionate about, you know, helping others through the process. And functional nutrition would say, okay, we have to work backwards and see, you know, what your issues are, what your weaknesses are inherently, what are your food triggers, and what kinds of things do we need to do to rebuild a very weak intestinal tract. So functional medicine would look at a symptom and see it as not the problem, but just a symptom of a deeper problem, and work on fixing that through nutrient-dense nutritional therapy.
That sounds fantastic. And I'm sure that people are listening and thinking, God, I really wish she was my nutritionist. But, I mean, we do these shows, and I think, you know, when I have a doctor who's so fabulous, like I had Dr. Wangen. Do you know who he is? He's in functional medicine as
yeah.
well. And I've had him on the episodes here a couple of times, and I'm just totally blown away every time at how with it he is. And I feel that about you with nutrition, because of the functional, of getting to the root of what
yeah.
the issue is, rather than just, you know, let's just treat it in a generalized.
Yeah.
But what are the common mistakes that people make, getting back to like gluten-free and all the things that we talk about? What are the common mistakes that people make eating gluten-free?
Well, I think one of the common mistakes is that we approach any issue, even in the gluten-free world or grain-free world, sometimes with a conventional mindset where we just kind of want, you know, a bullet, remedy, such as a particular diet or a particular supplement that's just going to fix everything. And what we have to remember is, whether it's gluten-free, grain-free, whatever it is that we're doing to bring healing to our poor, inflamed bodies, is that gluten-free foods are part of an overall balanced nutritional plan.
They can't be the mainstay of your diet because it's easy to get even too many carbohydrates that can actually bind and constipate the bowel, even that are gluten-free. And we can even put a great load on our pancreas and on our blood sugars by having too many of these carbohydrates, and we need to use them in their proper place and say we still need really nutrient-dense foods to complement the gluten-free diet, such as the, you know, high plant-based diet for those that, you know, can tolerate that after some of the inflammation is down, great proteins, great fats, and, of course, great gluten-free grains that don't trigger inflammation in the body. So a lot of people make the mistake of making gluten-free foods the mainstay of their diet when really they're intended to be an important complement and accent.
I love that. I actually love that you just said that. And I think that's so key to a lot of people's questions about not getting better when they become gluten-free. And, that's always like this big controversy, I think. And, you know, we see it in the media. We see it everywhere about, you know, well, the gluten-free diet isn't that great for you. I think that it is a compliment, you know, and just like tonight I may not want bread at my meal. There might be a meal I want bread, but it's not the mainstay of every meal.
That's exactly right. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, people who obviously are celiac or have any kind of gluten sensitivity or intolerance, they will see, you know, a marked improvement in going gluten-free, but then they seem to stall, and then they seem to, you know, need to go to the next step. And that's usually a common mistake that I see people make, is that it's not a balance of all the important food groups for helping the body to get well.
I think that's really good. So what are the most important supplements? Because we always worry about that, and that's a big thing in the gluten-free community of talking about what supplements do they need, and people are very confused.
Yes.
So what supplements are important when healing the bowel?
Well, we know for sure that taking the triggers that inflame the bowel out is important, which a lot of people do in entering into a gluten-free diet. But then some of the supplements that are so important are obviously probiotics, which you can get in a capsule form, but you can also get in kefir and other fermented foods as your body will tolerate them. And, you know, there's no question that probiotics are, you know, one of the most important nutrients for your bowel, because you need to have the proper bacterial balance for your bowel to be able to reduce all the inflammation permanently. So probiotics are up there high on the list. L-glutamine, licorice, aloe, things that soothe the mucous membranes of the intestinal lining and create a barrier so that your inflamed bowel can begin to heal. Of course, essential fatty acids are very important, fish oils and good oils to lubricate the villi of the small intestines. And, you know, then obviously antifungal and anti-yeast products are also really, really key in restoring good bacterial and balance and overtaking too much yeast in the bowel, because you can be eating the right things, you've been taking great supplements, but if you have a yeast problem, you're still going to have a major issue to overcome in getting your bowel well.
And can it not cause candida or
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Candida is absolutely pervasive in every issue just about that I see in my office, because we are such a culture of processed foods, over 130 pounds of sugar per person per year in America.
Isn't that stunning?
It's stunning.
I hear that and I just think, wow, it gives me that Jamie Oliver view, you know, of the whole sugar thing with the dump truck. But, you know, and two, I wanted to say, I'm so glad you said aloe. My daughter loves aloe juice, and she got us to where we would drink it. And so we drink it every week.
Yes.
And it's been, and I got her on that originally because I had seen it on a forum. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. And if people don't know, you can purchase aloe juice now in your grocery stores, which is really fab. When we first started, it was only available like at CVS.
Yes, I understand, because when I went gluten-free, you know, over 20 years ago in Los Angeles, gluten-free, even in health food stores, was just starting to really, you know, make its debut. So it was a lot harder to find things, and certainly not in mainstream grocery stores like we see now.
Oh, no. I mean, it was hard 7 years ago. I can't even imagine 20.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's doable.
Anyway, thank you so much for talking to us, yes. Julia. And I'm excited about your presentation at the event on the 15th. And you are going to talk about functional nutrition there too, correct?
Yes, that is correct. And gluten-free and beyond for those that are stuck and need to find a way to go further in their progress.
Oh, and I think they're going to get so much information from you. I've learned from you already, so I'm super psyched.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
Yeah, so if you want to stick around, you can. We do a little Q&A roundtable. If not, I will see you at the show.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Julia. All righty, so that was interesting, wasn't it? If you didn't learn anything, I did. I know I did. So our next speaker is Jen Cuevas, and I hope that I just said her name right and didn't butcher that. Jen is the gluten and grain-free gourmet. So she's going to talk to us a little bit about grain-free living, and she supports delicious eating that is gluten, grain, soy, and poultry-free. And maybe she can tell us a little bit about why she does no poultry. Hey, Jen.
Hello, Nikki. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, no, thank you for taking the time to join us tonight. So do tell me, because I am interested, why is there no poultry?
So that is an interesting topic, and it is controversial a little bit, but I will tell you what I was taught, and, you know, everybody can decide for themselves.
Yeah, well, that's what we're here for, and, you know, I am totally open, so please do tell me.
Absolutely. Well, I was actually, I learned a lot from my physician that was here in Ohio, and he did some studies and taught us that chicken, poultry, and turkey, and actually farm-fed fish as well, they tend to hold the oils from the grains that they consume more so than, say, beef or pork do. And so he said that the exposure to that in the flesh of the chicken that you're eating or the farm-fed fish actually turns more into somewhat of a starch than it does a protein. And I, of course, at the time when I learned this, I thought, okay, he's crazy because, you know, I eat chicken every day. I had high cholesterol and, you know, all these terrible health problems. And, you know, what did they tell you to do? Eat chicken. You know, it's a high protein. And,
right.
And so I was like, wow, okay, I don't know if I can go into this chicken thing. I actually did give up chicken, and this is not a scientific study on my part. This is a me study. But I gave up chicken, and I never really had eaten the farm-fed fish, and I never really liked turkey, so that wasn't an issue for me. But actually,
yeah, I don't
turkey
either.
You don't like turkey. We're the minority on Thanksgiving, just so you know.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. I'm okay with it.
Right.
But let me just say, and I have to interject here, that if you live, I passed by, just tonight I passed by it, it's the largest chicken processing plant in the Eastern Seaboard.
Oh my God.
It is so disgusting to smell that chicken plant. If you ever smelt it when you came by, you would never eat processed chicken again. And I live in a very rural county in the mountains of North Carolina where there is only small family farms where we are. So I do eat chicken, but it is free range, like really free range. I mean, they run around
right.
in their yard, you know. It's not
right.
it's not fed by any kind of grain. So in that case, would that be different?
So I coach clients. I'm a personal coach, and so I help them with, you know, with their eating. And I put this on sort of the B list or the C list of foods to maybe consider avoiding if you're still having issues. I personally have not consumed chicken now for, gosh, I guess it's been
no matter years. If it's free range.
So. No matter if it's free range, because somebody sat in the class, I'll never forget, and they were like, okay, come on, you know, if we raise our own chickens, isn't that going to be good enough? You know, they eat the worms and all the, you know, and what he said is that it would take so many generations to change them back to the way that they are supposed to be that we wouldn't see it in our lifetime. But I don't know that everybody's as strict as I am about the chicken, but
yeah, I mean, I just was curious. I just thought that was really interesting. But in any case, I wanted to ask you how you got started in your business. I know that you've had health issues of your own and your own challenges to face, like Hashimoto's. Is that correct?
I do. I have Hashimoto's. I have celiac disease, and I was diabetic and had high cholesterol, very high cholesterol, all which ran in the family. So really what it started the whole thing for me was many years ago. My father actually passed away. He was 56 years old, and he had heart disease, high cholesterol, and diabetes. And so losing, you know, your dad that at that young of an age is, you know, certainly caused a lot of grief for me. Devastating. And it was 10 days before I had my first child as well. So it was especially painful for me. But it would also, I was young and I was realizing that I was going to be in this terrible, you know, high risk category for these diseases. And so, sort of all along, I've been very conscious of my health, but not the best at eating the right things, you know, but I certainly didn't, you know, I didn't live on fast food or anything. And so when my health problems sort of started out of nowhere, I really panicked and couldn't really get anybody to give me some good answers. And so by the time I started to finally get better, I started realizing very quickly that it was a huge barrier to eat the right way, especially I'm a single parent and, you know, had a full-time career and things like that that kept me on the road. And then when I started coaching people, that just continued to be, wow, the biggest barrier to this is finding something you can eat, and B, that it didn't, you know, taste like cardboard or something unpleasant. And so what I've really tried to do is provide tools for my clients and my customers that they can have something that tastes good. It's made of wholesome, as many organic ingredients as possible. There's no gluten, grain, soy. In most of my products, there's no dairy. And most of my products, no refined sugar either. So I'm very, very, very specific about the ingredients I look for. But I really wanted to just start providing an option for people who were eating restricted diets and, you know, these new lifestyles that were popping up all over the place. So that's really how I got started doing it.
No, and we're so glad because
thank you.
Even though there's gluten-free, there aren't that many grain-free vendors. And the ones that you do, you're not seeing the treats that I've seen you talk about that you make.
Thank you.
So I'm sure that that's going to be yummy and delicious to try at the show. But what is different about the products that you do make?
Well, besides being the gluten and grain-free, everything I make is in a dedicated facility. Dedicated gluten and soy. There's no gluten or soy that comes into the facility at all. And so there's not the cross-contamination issues that you may get at, you know, with some places that do both. And so that's out of the question there. And then, again, I actually started my products earlier this year and found that I had so many dairy-free customers that I created most of my products to be dairy-free. So gluten, grain, always gluten, grain, soy-free, and, again, most of my products are dairy-free. And I have a large paleo customer base as well. And so I've taken most of the refined sugars out, and I use either local honey or local maple syrup or other things to sweeten with that are creative. So try to accommodate as many different lifestyles that I can to help them out. And but as I go along, I get a lot of requests, so recently I've actually started a couple of vegan items as well, so you just never know.
but that's
a little unique.
That's very happening right now. I mean, you know, that is definitely on the plate as far as, like, we're seeing more people go and transition into possibly plant-based diet.
Correct.
Yeah.
And all of my products are also taste-tested, so it's pretty rare that you'll be the first person to try something, because if it doesn't make it past my focus groups, it doesn't make the selling table. So
totally good.
Sort of
you know, the way
thing.
I say it is if it passes my kids' taste buds, kids are so picky. Like,
yeah.
I know it's a kid,
completely.
You know?
Correct. And I
so
have actually a lot of...
So how do you encourage your clients to succeed with a different eating lifestyle? Like, that is difficult in itself because of the grief process of change.
Completely. And I do tell them to allow for that. You know, that is part of... It is part of the process. And if you're not expecting it to be, then, you know, you're going to have a real adjustment going into it. So I encourage food journaling. I think that's a huge part of success. I think I heard another author say, you know, I have celebrity clients, and if they don't write it down, I won't be their coach. And I kind of feel the same way, really. That's a huge thing. And it does help encourage people because they learn about themselves in the process, and they learn what works and what doesn't work. And
just
what
so
are
a layman
triggers.
Knows, can you tell them what a food diary is? Because they may not
absolutely.
Know.
Of course, absolutely. It's really writing down everything that you consume, whether it's, you know, food, drink, if it's gum, mints, and how you feel that day. Were you tired? Did you have a great day? Were you in a good mood? Were you in a bad mood? Were you angry? Were you, you know, and just kind of start associating some of what may be occurring in your symptoms or your life with the different foods that you might be eating. Because sometimes, and I think the previous speaker was talking about, gluten-free isn't enough. And so what are those trigger foods? And I've, you know, learned a lot of people have issues with nightshades or issues with the dairy or issues with these other things that I know for me, soy, if I have any soy, I wake up in the middle of the night. So, so I think it really helps it's a good step to help encourage, you know, people to really understand how food is impacting their day-to-day life.
And possibly it would get rid of the denial.
At times.
If you read it, you know it's there. You can't deny it.
You can't deny it. That's right. But some people still find ways to deny it. It's okay.
Yeah. Denial is a strong thing.
That's right. So, and I really try to focus people on being somebody that will say, I'm going to focus on what I can have. Focus on those good foods that I can have. I'm not going to worry about, you know, the hamburgers and hot dogs at the ball field because I can't, you know, I can't control, I cannot have those. So I'm not going to focus there. I'm going to focus on what I can have. And that's one way that I really try to encourage people to get through it and kind of even visualize those things in their mind if they're confronted with a situation where, you know, there it is the hamburger and the hot dog. Well, did you pack a snack ahead of time? If you didn't, you know, let's think about something else, not. I tell people that they, you know, other people will take their cues from them. And so if they if they're all, you know, oh, poor me, I can't have that, then that's exactly how they're going to be treated in return. They're going to be seeking sympathy without even knowing it. And that doesn't help anybody, really.
No,
maybe an occasional hug.
Yeah.
An occasional hug.
And,
but
you know, I think we've had on our website, we have it posted that if you approach this in 100% positive attitude, you will live successfully that way. But, you know, and I don't minimize being gluten-free because we do live gluten-free, and sometimes it is hard. But I do think that soy would be harder. I do. I think soy and corn would be so much harder than gluten at this point.
And I get that a lot. Well, how do you do that? And that's actually the topic that I'm writing on. So I'll be sharing some of that in what I talk about next Saturday. So,
Excellent.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for talking to us about grain-free and living that way and your products. And I can't wait to try your products. And my daughter can't either. So we will meet you on Saturday. But if you want to stick around, we're going to talk about Hot Topics in just a few minutes, okay?
Sounds great. Okay,
excellent.
Thank you.
Talk to you then. All righty. So that was cool. I learned some things. I don't know about you. I definitely learned some things about poultry and grain-free. So our next speaker, I am so excited to bring her to you. I haven't seen her in a couple of years. And her name is Shannon Ford. And Shannon is really cool. I like Shannon a lot. She's also been Mrs. United States 2011. She's an advocate for celiac disease awareness. And after being diagnosed in 2009, it became Shannon's goal to bring more attention to the illness and advocate for better labeling of the nation's food supply. She's a graduate of Florida International University with a BA in psychology, former Miss Florida USA, and was a Miami Dolphin ambassador, and just so much more. But she also lives paleo, and she's been a speaker and presenter at Paleo FX. She's been on the cover of Paleo Magazine, Delight, Gluten-Free Magazine. It just goes on and on. Please welcome Shannon Ford. How are you, Shannon?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Well, I was learning all about poultry, too. I didn't know any of that either, so that was very interesting.
Isn't that eye-opening?
It really was. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I need to cut down on my chicken eating.
Yeah, I know, and isn't it funny how, you know, we think things are... You know, it's so true that things, we think something's healthy, and then we find out, well, maybe not so much.
Well, I think it's this, when I talk to people who are newly diagnosed or people who are going paleo for the first time, they all say, okay, well, it's, you know, it's so hard. And I said, make baby steps, because I know a lot, but it's been 5 years since I was diagnosed. And I remember eliminating certain things in the beginning, and it's a and I still learn, like I just learned right now, so it's a continually, you know, you're tweaking and learning, and it doesn't stop. But I always tell people when they're first starting out that it does get easier, and at some point it becomes second nature.
Yeah.
My CrossFit gym right now is doing a paleo challenge, and I'm kind of the cheerleader for the team, and they're like, but it's so hard, and everybody's, and I'm like, stop focusing on what you're going to have on day 31, because
yeah.
If you focus on what you're going to have on day 31, it's the 30 days is going to be for nothing, so
yeah.
Focus on what you can have. I mean, I can have bacon and stuff like that, so that's, focus on the stuff that you can have. And I mean, in the last 5 years, since I celebrated my 5th anniversary in August of being diagnosed, which I can't even believe it's been that long, and it's in the 5 years, there's so much more gluten-free options in
oh,
the
yeah.
marketplace. So, and I can't even imagine the people who were diagnosed 10 years ago, because there was probably nothing. So it's become so much easier.
It was a lot harder.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, it was a little harder because there wasn't the options in restaurants and whatnot that there are now. And you are going to speak about traveling and being grain-free as well, which is, you know, I'm amazed at that, because I know that even though gluten-free has become so popular and we do have menu options, it still is – it's kind of a minefield sometimes.
Yes, it is. And I actually traveled yesterday. I had a day-long trip. I flew up and back to Atlanta. And just walking through the airport, it's a challenge. And I was fortunately upgraded to first class on my way home, and they have a bunch of snacks, and there was not one thing that was gluten-free. So, which was probably not a bad thing, because it's all crap anyway. But
right.
It was... You know, there's never really options for someone that's for being gluten free when you're traveling. So, I'm not a naturally organized person, but being gluten free and grain free has required me to be so when I travel. I have to
yeah.
be prepared.
Yeah, and you know, I know when I travel, there's only a couple of airports that I go through that actually have like go picnics or Kind bars. You know, sometimes now you can find Kind bars in a lot of the little newsstand places.
Right, right, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
and so that's our go-to if we've forgotten.
Yes, you know, it is. I will have a booth there for ID Life, which is something that I work with now. And we have meal replacement shakes that I carry with me. And that's what I did. That was my dinner last night. because there wasn't, I didn't have much time to when I got to the airport. And so I didn't have time to even look if there was any options. I believe there were because I was in Atlanta, and that's a pretty big airport. But I didn't have any time. So I had my meal replacement shake in my bag. I always have one or two, and that's my go-to. I also carry almond butter. Like, they sell, like, little almond butter packets. So at Whole Foods, and I'll always have one or two of those in my
That's
suitcase.
A good idea. I love those. The Justin's.
I use the Artiana. It's the raw almond butter, but the Justin's have some too. But they're great because they're really great on the go. You can put them in your purse because they're not very big. And whenever you're just hungry, I actually used those when I ran a half marathon.
Very cool.
Because I am paleo, so I couldn't do the goos, and I really don't eat a lot of sugar. So I had the coconut butter one because coconut oil is very good. It's MCT oil. So I used those during a half marathon. So, and I thought they were better than those goos because those things are pretty nasty.
Yeah, they are. I really like the ID meal replacement shakes, by the way. And those are pretty awesome because you can mix them with water, correct?
You can mix them with water. And they're also, the best thing about them is they have chia seeds in them. So they fill you up really good because the chia seeds swell up in your stomach. So they give you a full sensation, and it gives you a little bit of omega-3 fat and then the protein. So it's a really good quality protein. It is a whey protein, but it's lactose-free. So if you're allergic to dairy, you couldn't do those shakes. But if you're lactose intolerant, you're fine. I'm actually very lactose intolerant, and I can tolerate them great. And they're grass-fed whey as well. So really, really great product. And the one thing I love about ID Life and the reason why I got involved so quickly is all their products are soy-free and gluten-free, and that was and dairy-free.
And organic, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they're made with organic ingredients. They're not certified organic, but anything that could be organic is. They're not completely certified organic because I think there's some things that can't technically be organic, but most of the ingredients are organic, yes.
Yeah, I just tried it, so I'm kind of like getting there. But I tried it in Hartford, and I liked it, and my daughter liked it a lot. So, what do you carry with you besides those little, you know, packets? What are some other little tips that you can give some people?
Well, I do. Even though I am paleo, I do occasionally eat some oatmeal. There's that kind of that gray area, and oatmeal is one of them. So sometimes if I'm going to have oatmeal, I will actually make them ahead of time in the slow cooker, and I'll take them in a little container and I'll freeze them.
So they
can actually, if they're frozen, you can put them in your suitcase. So if I'm going to be on a trip, on a business trip, I will actually freeze some food and put it in a Ziploc bag and wrap it in foil, and it is packed really well. It doesn't have any liquid, so it will pass even in your carry-on, but typically it goes in my suitcase, the one that I check
that's
in.
That's a cool idea. I've never heard of anybody doing that.
Yeah, I am. I've packed some quite a bit of perishable food in my suitcase, as long as it's not a long trip. I wouldn't do that if I was going to Europe or anything, but usually my trips are, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours, and usually by the time I even get to my hotel, they're still frozen. So there's still some time that needs to be defrosted, yeah. It's great. It's just, I think it's a matter of being prepared. And one of the things I also talk about is learn where you're going. So if you're going to go to, you know, for example, I travel to Atlanta. I have an office in Atlanta. I know the Whole Foods. I don't even need the directions anymore. I know where the Whole Foods is.
Right.
That's kind of my go-to, and that's my place. Or look at for local restaurants.
So you just research. I mean, this is what we do. It's research a little bit. And with all the apps that are available now and everything, that makes it a little bit easier. But if you just know where you can purchase things that are whole food and fresh, then you're doing pretty good, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's like I said, it's like you just said, it's being prepared, you know, doing your research. And one of the things that my husband and I love to do when we're vacation is we like to cruise. And for us, it's one of the main reasons why we love to cruise is the cruise lines are so good at taking care of people with dietary needs.
They really are.
They are.
I've heard that from everybody, is that it's so much easier.
It is, and we're getting ready to go on a cruise in 3 weeks, and or right after Thanksgiving, and we can't, it's just, they have all my dietary information. They always take care of us. I don't eat off the buffet, so I always, and they just take care of you, and it's such a hassle-free vacation that that's the vacation of choice every year for us, because it's just a no-brainer for us. It's like I don't have to worry about what I'm going to eat for an entire week, which is great.
That's awesome. I know we travel a lot in the car doing the shows. My daughter goes with us and travels. So we've got like a little kit that we put together, and we put it in a Tupperware-type storage bin. And it's got, like, a pot, and it's got, like, several different things in case we need it, so that we've got it with us. So that's our way of staying prepared when we're on the road. And we always stay in the hotels. I don't know if you do this. I know I do. If I can, I stay in a hotel that has a mini kitchen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I have the Embassy Suites are usually great. Extended stays are awesome. They have full suites. Homewood Suites is another one. When I went to Mrs. United States, I was there for 10 days, and I knew I was not going to be able to find food to eat at the, you know, hotel, casino, restaurant.
Right.
So I actually brought a hot plate, which I don't think it was legal in the hotel, but I brought it anyway. And I did the same thing. I went to Whole Foods, and I, for the most part, made my food while I was there.
Yeah.
Because it was just, there was the one time I really could not get sick, because my biggest symptom when I do get glutenized is my stomach swells. Well, there's a swimsuit competition. That would have been bad. So
yeah.
I was not taking that risk. But yet there's things that you just have to be prepared. And that was a long trip, so that was an extreme situation. But I brought a little hot plate that I bought at BrandsMart for, I think, $10.99.
Yeah, you can get them so cheap.
And
even a frying pan. I mean, you can go in the dollar store and get you a disposable little frying pan if you have to.
Absolutely. And stuff that you can just leave behind and not even worry about it.
Awesome.
Absolutely. There's so many little tricks in it. You know, it's just overcoming that fear. And when you're prepared, and that's the key, is when you're prepared, then the fear makes the fear go away.
It does. But what do
Absolutely.
You do? This is the one thing that I always worry about, because my daughter, and this is very controversial, we're going to bring up a controversial point. Some people don't believe that if you're celiac, you have to worry about your shampoo or your skincare. We do have to worry about it, because my daughter does have a reaction. So what do you do if you lose your hair care or skincare and you have to make do in a pinch?
Well, I am very lucky that I don't have that situation. However, I do make sure that my products are gluten-free. I don't have a reaction, but I do use products that are gluten-free, just because that can always change. I don't think it's controversial at all. I believe in it, because I've seen people that have that reaction.
Yeah.
I put everything into travel-sized bottles, so I never pack it in a suitcase. So it's always with me on my person, in my carry-on.
That's a
good
tip.
That's something that I don't pack those things full size, because one, they end up bursting and they ruin your clothes. But you just put them in travel sizes, in the travel size. And one of the ones I like right now is the Honest Company. It's from Jessica Alba's company. They have some really great products that are gluten-free, and I believe they're vegan as well. So that's
cool.
A really great brand that I
Is
that
what
I
you're
like
using
right
for
now.
Skincare or for hair care?
That's for hair care,
okay.
Shampoo and conditioner. But so if I were to lose my hair, my shampoo and my conditioner, I would probably go with dirty hair and pull it back and make it look real slick. you can only get away with that for so many days. Another trick is you know, some baby powder will absorb some of the oil.
I was going to say that. See, I'm a hairdresser at heart. You know that. I've been one for 25 years. There are dry hair shampoos now, which are really great. But you can, if you don't have that or you lost something, you can use baby powder.
We used to use baby powder. The trick that I learned that trick when I was a cheerleader I live in Miami, so half time in September, you're sweating bullets.
Yeah.
And your hair that looked perfect when you went out first quarter does not the second quarter. So we would all use baby powder in the halftime when we had a break.
See, you never knew. Now you can look at those girls' roots.
Oh, yeah. And
everybody will be at the TV this weekend looking at their roots.
And I'll tell you, it was like a cloud of baby powder in the locker room.
Yeah. Luckily, if you use Bumble and Bumble, I was going to plug them because that is a product that we use at home. Bumble and Bumble has
too.
A really awesome dry shampoo.
I do use that one. It's also good when you haven't done your roots.
It is. It's really fab. So, Shannon, I'm excited to see you again, and I'm excited
to have you
at the show again.
I know, and I haven't been up to Jacksonville. I haven't seen you in 2 years, so this is the first time I've spoken in 2 years. So I can't believe it's been that long. And I haven't been up to Jacksonville in 3 years, so I'm looking forward to getting up there. It's in Florida, but it's the other part of the state. So
I used to think that Jacksonville was kind of like a little bit like Georgia, but now going back there, it has changed so much. It's grown so much since I had been there previously.
I've heard that. So I don't know how much I'll actually get to see because I'm flying in and flying out the same day, but I am looking forward to it. And those of you who are listening, definitely looking forward to meeting you all. And if hopefully you get the chance to listen to me speak. And if not, come by my booth and chat me up.
Excellent. Good job. All right. So we are going to move on now. We have one last portion to the episode today. And that is our Hot Topics, and we do this every single show, but it's really fun. So what we're going to talk about right now are current topics that are going on in the gluten and allergen-free community, and I will direct questions to some of the people that we spoke with tonight, some of our speakers, and see what they think and how they weigh in on what's going on in our community. So the first thing I want to bring up is that we keep having this run-in with celebrities. It just happens, and it happens over and over. It's been really difficult for a lot of people to deal with. People get very angry. It touches nerves. And everyone has heard about the Jennifer Lawrence thing that hit all over the place. Who wants to weigh in on that? Anybody? Jen?
This is Shannon.
There's so many Jens. I mean, there's two Jens, so I have to say, Jen Eccleston, you weigh in on it. What do you think about all the buzz around what Jennifer Lawrence said?
You picked the wrong person, I hate to tell you, because I am so out of the loop with anything regarding anybody.
Okay, so let me just fill you in, if you didn't know, because some people may not be keeping up. I read my Twitter feed way too much. So Jennifer Lawrence called gluten-free the new cool eating fad and said that basically
actually, she called it an eating disorder.
Eating disorder. I'm sorry.
Yes,
she did. You're so right, Shannon. See, she would trip me up on it. Shannon knows the deal. So Jennifer Lawrence called it the new eating disorder.
Yeah, that kind of stuff really ticks me off, to tell you the truth. Because, you know, being grain-free like the other Jen here, I loved hearing her speak, by the way. I've had so many people make comments, and there's one way that you can genuinely ask, you know, tell me about why there's so much more people eating gluten-free now. And someone can genuinely have that question, and of course that's, you know, a good question. But then they can ask it in kind of this attitude kind of way, like, well, what in the world is the deal with everybody eating gluten-free now, you know? And,
why
is it all of a sudden?
I call it gluten bigots. So there's a bunch of gluten bigots in the world, and we know this. And we keep talking about it, and I don't know. It's really – it mind boggles me, really. You know,
it's
what do
hard.
You think, Shannon? You know all about it.
You know, it upset me when I saw it. I actually saw it, I think it was through Gluten Dude, and I saw his response, and that's actually how I heard about it. And I thought his response was right on and, you know, probably said it a lot more eloquent than I would have.
Right.
But, you know, she's a person. I like Jennifer Lawrence. I think she's funny. She's kind of one of those people that's you know, out there. But, you know, she kind of says what she's thinking. She's also, I think, 24 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, but my concern with that is what she's saying is what a lot of people think.
Yeah,
so,
that's my concern too.
You know, and she's just uneducated, and she's in a position where people are like, you know, I think that too, you're right. And but so it's not so much about Jennifer Lawrence, because if she's one person, you know, she's one of those people that kind of says stuff, and okay, she's kind of quirky and out there. But what the scary thing is that that's what a lot of people think. And I remember, now this was 4 years ago at my bridal shower. I had been diagnosed for a year, so I was just starting to get the hang of it. And I had already talked to the restaurant, and I told the waiter, I'm the one that's gluten-free, you know, just make sure. He goes, is it a dietary requirement or is it by choice?
Right.
And I'm a very blunt person, and I said, does it matter?
Yeah.
And I was furious, and this was my bridal shower, so I was just furious. But it was, that's the mentality where people ask, well, does it matter? What if it is by choice? It should not matter. We don't question when someone says, I'm a vegetarian. Well, is that for health reasons or is it by choice?
Right.
Does it matter? We don't question those choices. So that's where I think the education is, that even if someone is gluten-free or grain-free by choice, that's their choice. We don't question vegans or vegetarians, so why would we question someone who decides to be paleo or grain-free?
I totally agree with you. What do you think, Julia?
Yeah, I think it's a sensitive topic, and I think it just goes back to, you know, a lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding for people who really do suffer. And I think it is definitely an uninformed comment to make and a little bit on the insensitive side, because my life's work is devoted to helping people who, you know, from either infants who have a bleeding bowel to, you know, adults that have had, you know, feet of their intestines removed by the time they get to me. People
wow,
are really sick.
Wow, you know, and that
so,
is so
you know.
Heavy. That is so heavy, Julia. And that's what I think is lacking here. It's a general disregard for the severity that it can cause.
Yes, the suffering.
And I also think that my issue with it, and maybe Jen Cuevas has something to say about that too, but my issue with it is, like Shannon said, that it's going to be the chef that believes her, that thinks that it's crap, and then questions my daughter and doesn't do right for her. That's my issue. It's not really Jennifer Lawrence. You know what I mean?
Right.
What do you think, Jen Cuevas?
Well, I definitely I struggle with how do they know the influence that they have, and if they do, then really please be careful, because you don't know. And I was actually, I pulled it up because I was wanting to know a little bit more about it, and somebody wrote back to her, gluten-free diet and eating disorder, ? I don't think so, darling. Stick to acting, because you don't seem to know much about healthy eating. So I
it got really heated. It got really heated for a couple days there. And I totally get it. I mean, I totally get it.
I get it, too.
Yeah.
It's just until someone is in the position that some of us are, that, you know, if we have a crumb, you know, I've had clients that pass out, that, you know, immediately are in the bathroom for hours, you know, and it's just, you know, until you understand. And there are people who are doing it as a trend, but like you said, does it really matter? I think sometimes it can also be misinterpreted from the kitchen, because if they're asking that question, you know, they may have to prepare things a different way if you're going to, you know, pass out or be in the bathroom for hours, but they shouldn't.
I know, but
like,
you know what,
Jen?
I guess my thing is kind of like your gluten-free kitchen, okay? Like, my issue with that whole thing is, if you have to take different steps, are you going to take those steps? So I agree with Shannon that it shouldn't matter, and it should just be protocol.
Correct. I completely agree. Yes,
yeah.
I completely agree. And after being in commercial kitchens, we'll have to touch on that topic another day.
Yeah, it's really scary. I mean, and I did the Chick-fil-A tour, backstage tour, they called it, or something. It was where they released the grilled nuggets, right?
And they invited us as support group leaders to come into the kitchen and check it out.
Wow.
And let me just tell you, we don't eat them, okay?
Right.
Not just because of the chicken thing, because I'm real funky about
that
too, as far as where my chicken comes from. But also, just, I mean, there was flour literally coating the hand washing stations and everything. And I was like, how in the world is this chicken
Absolutely.
Not getting contaminated?
That's exactly right. Yes.
Yeah.
It's
okay,
in the air,
so next topic I'm going to touch on real quick, because we took a lot of time with that one, but it was a big one. Is I wanted to talk about how you guys feel about the kale thing. Like, I love kale, and kale was supposed to be so healthy for us, and now they're saying it's all GMO. Do you eat organic, or how do you do that with your greens? Let's talk to Julia about that.
Yes. Well, I am a huge kale fan, and I do eat only organic kale. And, you know, the evidence is just so compelling for the polyphenolic compounds in kale and how your cancer risk is reduced 4 times less likely to get it just from cruciferous vegetables like kale. I think it's a powerhouse superfood. And I do still support eating it organic.
Eating it organic, right.
Yes,
that's what I was going to say. You know, because if you buy it at the regular supermarket and it doesn't have organic stamped on it, it is GMO. Is that correct?
That is correct, and it's what I call faux food.
Yeah.
So faux food is not food that we want to eat.
Right. Right. No, I agree. So what do you think, Jen Eccleston?
Well, since Julia McCrae is actually our personal nutritionist, I would just have to agree with whatever she says.
But did you know it was now GMO? Like,
I didn't know
that until about 2 weeks ago when it started hitting about this, you know, you think kale's good for you, you know.
I had no idea, but it's so unsettling to me. I do buy organic kale, and I'm not just trying to get brownie points with Julia on saying that, but I did not know that, but it's frightening to me because then it makes me think, well, what in the world else are we eating that is?
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's like, is my arugula?
Yeah.
What's next?
You know, I eat so much greens, and that is a big part of our diet. And I don't know, Shannon, do you eat a lot of greens? I'm sure you do.
I do, and I do eat organic, and with the greens especially, because I tend to blend them in a Vitamix and make like a green smoothie.
Right.
So, you know, I've always, anything I'm going to put in a green smoothie is going to be organic. So I do eat it, but I had no idea. So this, again, I'm learning a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's totally GMO now. It's kind of like the soy thing. And I think it was because we went into this health kick, and it's funny how our health kicks just kind of like transform food, don't they? You know,
it's a domino effect. You start learning and learning, and you get educated on more and more and more.
And then you get scared to eat.
Yeah.
Maybe we do have an eating disorder. No, I'm just kidding. No, for sure, I'm kidding. But, yeah, definitely. And chia seed is another one. Like, you were bringing that up. I don't think that people know that it is a super hydrator, so that it swells and it hydrates your body. You know, so these superfoods are great for us. But, yeah, I totally advocate organic. What do you think, Jen Cuevas? Organic?
Absolutely. And I have to admit that this was a transformation for me because when I first started doing this, I said, you know, strive for organic. And I still say that because, you know, sometimes we can't afford $6 a pound for something. But it is so important. And you're going to laugh, but I'm not a kale eater. Cruciferous vegetables do not agree with me.
Really?
Strangely enough.
That's a bummer.
I do get it into smoothies as much as I can, where I, you know, get it in some doses at least. But I actually started at a farmer's market this summer, and my next door neighbor is a non-GMO farmer. And so I learned all about, you know, making sure that whatever vegetables I'm putting into my body are organic. And so spent a lot of time learning about that over the last several months. So absolutely,
yeah,
organic
all
the way.
Yeah, I totally advocate it. You know, organic all the way if we can. And I would be really glad if every state just did what our friends in Connecticut did and labeled organic and GMO. It would be really nice to have that label on there so that we can make that informed choice for our families. And
absolutely.
I totally advocate that anybody who can get behind that movement do so, so that we all know what's in our food and where our food comes from. Anyway.
Well, and if you can stay local, too, and know who your farmer
absolutely.
Is and
eat
what they are using.
Close to the vine. Stay local as you can.
It.
And make those things that aren't local, like Julia said so well, make it a compliment to your meals, not the standard. So, anyway, ladies, thank you so much for coming and talking with us tonight. I know everybody's going to learn some stuff from it. I know I did. How about you?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely. It's been great. Thank you
excellent.
So much.
Excellent. So we will see you again, and hopefully we will see you guys in Jacksonville. I'm in the wrong city. See, I travel too much now. I have a slide up right now before we go, and that is that Delight Gluten Free Magazine is one of our sponsors. And if you pre-register now for the show in Jacksonville on the 15th, you receive 1 year subscription to Delight Gluten Free Magazine for free. So that's a $20 value for only $10 for your ticket. Children get in free. And if you want to get a military discount, you can do so at the door. We hope to see you there at 10 a.m. on November 15th at the Hyatt Riverside. Until then, keep staying healthy, keep staying positive, and keep on your journey to health and wellness.
Conference is now concluded. Good time. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key.